Well, good morning. I hope indeed it is a happy Mother's Day for you, ladies. I hope that folks in your life are showing appreciation for the meaningful contributions that you have made, the ways that you have loved them, the ways you have taught them, the ways that you have modeled the love of God. Perhaps you are like me and you have ladies in your family that the Lord has called on to glory, and you reflect on their contributions to your life, and you remember them fondly, and you're grateful, and you have to remember them by way of prayer and simply thank the Lord for providentially placing them in your life. This sermon this morning is preached in the memory of and in the honor of the members of Bethel's Loyal's Daughter Sunday School class. I'm doing that because as I have been your pastor for 10 years, it has been my responsibility and my honor to bury so many of them. I'm especially grateful to God for the faith and the spirituality that the members of this class have shared with Bethel Baptist Church through the years and continue to share, even though the class is largely absent due to COVID. Again, most of them have been promoted. They are in heaven. But we're glad for the ones that remain with us and grateful for the influence of this class in the life of Bethel. And so this morning, this message is preached in their memory and in their honor. It has become commonplace in the evangelical church, like the one you're in, conservative evangelical church, like the one you're in, to lament that so many men are disengaged. And to be honest, that is an appropriate lament. Sadly, statistically, lots of men are missing from the church. And then even sometimes men are present, but they're not engaged. They don't make the contributions. They don't lead. They don't serve. They attend, but their best energies are reserved for somewhere else, not the church. God gets what's left over and not their best. I would hope just such a statement would be clear. That doesn't make sense, does it? God shouldn't get what's left over. He should get our best. Well, I'm not particularly doing that this morning. I'm not lamenting the absence of men. I'm celebrating the presence of so many women. So with that in mind, we are giving consideration to the topic, when disciples get it right. When disciples get it right. It's kind of fun even to preach such a thing. Most of the time when we are reading the Bible, even this morning in Sunday school, we saw where disciples get it wrong. And honestly, it's easy for us to identify with the disciples when they get it wrong because we get it wrong. So it's delightful to see when disciples get it right. And we might even be encouraged that sometimes we get it right. So with that in mind, we are beginning in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Luke 23, verse 46. And when Jesus cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." All right, so Jesus is on the cross here. We have picked up. In fact, we're almost having a second Easter this morning. I hope you don't mind. All right. So, and when the Lord, when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." The centurion has watched Jesus die. He has watched Jesus say, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." He has seen Jesus cry out to the criminal on the cross beside him who cries out for mercy. You remember this, I hope, right? Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, King James, verily, verily, that is, I promise you, this is the truth, right? Today you will be with me in paradise. He's seen this. He sees and hears this final outpouring, these final words of Jesus. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, this certainly was a righteous man. Verse 48, and the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. Beating your breast was not celebratory as it is today. You might see someone hit a home run or make a basket or score a touchdown and they'll put their hand up in the air. And I'm the man, right? I'm the stuff. That's what that means. But in ancient times, if you beat your breast, it was a sign of grief and sorrow. It was mourning. It was downcast. And so the reaction of people wasn't, hey, we just got rid of a terrible criminal. It was, we just killed somebody who didn't deserve it. And so they walk away from the cross. They are mourning. But then this is the verse that captured my attention and led to this message. And you'll see it here in Luke 23. It's verse 49. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. So here's the scene. Most everyone else is leaving. But these women are at some distance to the cross, but they continue to watch Jesus. Interestingly enough, when you look at this event and you see the other Gospels, they add a word, and I want you to see it. So in Matthew 27, this same account, Matthew explains, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Mark writes it this way. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Joseph, and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him while he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. When disciples get it right, this is quite remarkable to me. First, you'll notice that the women were looking on. They were watching. You say, Brother Ricky, well, what else could they do? No, you're missing the point. They actually continued to watch. They continued to look on. What is your temptation in such a thing? It is after you see how graphic and horrific and terrible it is to turn and walk away, to spare yourself the grief of seeing someone you love being treated like that. But the women's love was so profound for Jesus that they didn't turn away. They didn't look away. They were loyal. Boy, that must have been hard to see. Hard to watch. I mean, of all the things that Jesus did, some of them were just amazing, stupefying even. Can you imagine being in a boat where the storm is shaking it around, jostling it, waves are lapping up over the side, and you look out and there is Jesus walking on the water? I get that. Why would you ever turn your head? Nobody's ever seen anything like that. Why wouldn't you just gaze into that? Think about being there when Jesus takes the lunchbox of a little boy and feeds 5,000 men, not counting women and children. And you know what he started with. It was a little bitty lunchbox full of stuff for one person. And he starts tearing and tearing and tearing and tearing. And then when is it going to end? Why would you turn your head then? That's amazing. The man in the Gadarenes, the demoniac. They chain the guy, right? Trying to subdue him so they can get him some help. But he has these surges of supernatural human strength, breaks free, beats up people who try to care for him, runs to Jesus. Jesus heals him. Why couldn't you? You would just be enraptured. Well, you'd be watching it. How in the world do you go from being a lunatic, crazy person that nobody can manage to telling people that Jesus healed me and being your right mind? Why would you want to turn away? That's as good as it gets. But this is terrible. It's despicable and awful, and every tragic and horrific kind of adjective comes to mind, just pounding in your brain. Why would you want to keep looking only because your love for Jesus is so profound that you'll see him under any circumstances? You're loyal. When disciples get it right, they're loyal. Why were they loyal like that? Well, the scripture says they followed Jesus. Now, in our setting, follow Jesus is kind of like a metaphor. We have to try to fill in the meaning of the word. But in the New Testament, the word follow was literal, right? Jesus went from Nazareth to Cana, and if you followed him, you went from Nazareth to Cana. If Jesus stayed in Nazareth for 2 or 3 days, you stayed there with him. If he ate at such and such a person's house, you ate there with him. It really was pretty simple. They followed him. Jesus went there, they went there. Jesus did ministry there, they went there. Jesus taught, they listened. They were with Jesus. They followed him. They were obedient. You say, boy, I wish it was that easy. I don't know that it was easy. I wonder sometimes if they didn't go, what are we doing in this dumpy little town? Why aren't we in Jerusalem where all the fanfare is? Man, if he would go to Jerusalem, think what kind of popularity he would have and what kind of fame he could garner. Here he is in this dumpy little village. Don't you know they were frustrated when he does all that work in Samaria? Golly, these sorry Samaritans. And he's busy doing all this stuff. He told that woman he was the Messiah. Been married 5 times and lives with a man's not her husband. Can't he pick somebody better than that to tell? Can't you see how confusing all of that would be just kind of in the flesh? But at some point, what do? Jesus walks that way, you walk that way. Jesus stops in that town, you stop in that town. Jesus eats here, you eat here. I'll bet that they got just as frustrated sometimes trying to ask Jesus, what's the plan? Where are we going next? What are we doing here? We want to know what's going on. It's not yours to know, it's yours to follow. When you get it right, you're loyal, and when you get it right, you're obedient to Jesus. That's what disciples, when they get it right, that's what they look like. And then thirdly, you'll notice that it says that they ministered to Jesus. You know, I dare say Jesus, more than any other person on the face of the planet, had reason to get frustrated that he was surrounded by takers. Just takers, 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 takers. Everywhere he goes, they're takers. Everybody wants a little piece. Some of you guys have been like that. My mom used to say, she said, when we would call her name, you know, like 2,000 times in the course of 65 seconds. Little kids have auctioneer talents. When they want mom, they can mom her just about to the bridge of insanity and back in like, I don't know, 5, 10, maybe 15 seconds. I mean, just right over the edge. And mom would say, I'm going to change my name and I'm not going to tell you what it is. And I'm thinking, well, that isn't fair. Some of you ladies, that line you've voiced a time or two. But Jesus, there's some standouts. There's some standouts that don't always want something from Jesus. They want to be able to do something for Jesus. Not just takers. Not just getting in line to be healed, but Jesus, would you like something? That's something. When you get it right, you're loyal and obedient, but you're also selfless. You don't just follow Jesus waiting for some benefit. You follow Jesus because He's worthy of being followed, and you want to have the opportunity to do Jesus some good. You want to bless Him. You want to bring Him a cup of cold water. You want to bring Him a cup of coffee. You want to bring Him a meal. You want to wash His feet. Where are we this morning? Are we just one more group following after Jesus? Just take, 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 take. Or is there something in our hearts that says He's been so good to us, we've received so much, that we're here actually to give something to Him? We're here to praise Him and glorify Him. We're not after something else. I know it. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has the treasures of heaven to pour out, and He's pouring them out. You and I have received grace on top of grace, and I'm not suggesting you shouldn't go and leave and ask for more grace. The most frequently answered prayer in the New Testament is basically under the category of this one word: help! It's a good prayer. Having said that, sometimes it's a good idea, after the help has come for the thousandth time, for you and I to pause with the help just for a moment and say, that was amazing help. You deserve glory and honor for paying attention to me. When we get it right, like these women, we're loyal, we're obedient, and we're selfless. We're not always after Jesus for one more little crumb. We actually love Him because of who He is. Verse number 50, back into Luke's gospel. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to the decision and the deed, that is, to Jesus' crucifixion. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus, and then he took it down and he wrapped it in linen and he laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one has ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. Look at verse 55. Again, I find this remarkable. I've read these passages many times, but hopefully they'll grip you a little bit. Verse 55. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. The other Gospels affirm this to be the case. Matthew 27:61, and Mary Magdalene was there, and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. Mark says, and Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph observed where he was laid. So imagine the scene. You have been following Jesus for some length of time, maybe 3 years of public ministry. You have witnessed all of the marvelous things that Jesus has done and has said. You are more enamored, wholly enamored with Jesus than you could ever have imagined being loved and devoted to someone on the earth. You follow Jesus. He is arrested. He is brutalized. He is put on the cross. You watch Him die. You watch Him be taken down. You watch Him be wrapped. You know that a man is caring for Him. And what do you do? Well, it's over. It's over. No, it isn't. Nope. If Jesus is going to the tomb, that's where I'm going to. And so women who follow Jesus, disciples, follow Jesus to the tomb to see where the Lord would be laid. See, when you get it right, you're loyal and you're obedient and you're selfless. But fourthly, you're persevering. These women, they kept on following Jesus even when it was not clear that Jesus was still leading. He's dead. They chose to continue to love Jesus and face the grief of his loss head on, rather than let their love for Jesus die and spare them the bitter grief they would surely experience at his tomb. I mean, if this day hadn't been bad enough, at sundown, at dark, you're going to the tomb to see him placed in there, to mark the location where he is, to see how his body is laid. They're persevering. Let me see if I can't help you get this. The women are loving Jesus when it is not clear at this moment in time how or if Jesus will ever be able to love them back. Nobody has put it together yet that he's going to resurrect and they're going to see him again. This looks like the end. They should have believed, they should have known, but it was just too much to handle. So these women are loving Jesus when it is not clear at this moment in time how or if Jesus will ever be able to love them back. They are loyal. They are obedient. They are selfless. They are persevering. That is what it looks like when disciples get it right. Verse 56, then they returned. Let me just pause here for a second. You know, at this point, if the ladies had gone home and said enough's enough, no, none of us could have blamed them. We would have said, well, they've gone above and beyond. But look what they do. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. Why did they do that? Because they're going to rest on the Sabbath day. So they've got to finish the work. They've got to prepare the spices they're going to use to anoint Jesus' body after the Sabbath is over, which is going to be sunrise Sunday morning. They've got to prepare that before the Sabbath comes so they can hold true to the God who told them to rest on the Sabbath. So even after all this is done, they go back to their homes, they prepare the spices they're going to use to anoint Jesus' body, sunrise on Sunday morning after the Sabbath is over, but they have to relive one more time what this day has been full of, and it has been the darkest moment of their life, and rather than it being a single moment, it is moment after moment after moment after moment, and now that moment contends even right up until dark in their own homes. These women are loyal, they're obedient, they're selfless, they're persevering. And fifthly, I'm looking for another word to say it, so I'm going to use one. They're resilient. Maybe you guys would like this word better, and ladies, I don't mean this offensively, okay, so don't take it this way. These were tough women. I have said of many of our loyal daughters, in fact, when I was involved in their funeral services, I have said, you know, they may have been made of sugar and spice and everything nice, but God threw some grit into these women. They were tough. They weren't wimpy. This sermon could last a long time because I could tell story after story after story. I can't tell you how many times one of the loyal daughters blessed me in some way. Almost every time I saw them. They prayed for me. I know that. And if you wanted to badmouth the preacher, it wasn't a good idea to talk to one of them. They weren't going to cooperate. And they might tell you to stop. Resilient, tough. These women are putting one foot in front of the other. This is the kind of moment that is. It isn't one of those moments where you figure out everything and you know everything and there's perfect clarity. It's one of those moments where you just say, I am not giving up. And you put this foot here, and then you put this foot here, and then you put this foot here, and you just keep going. They were resilient. They were tough. When disciples get it right, they are loyal. They are obedient. They are selfless. They're persevering. They're resilient. These women did the next thing that needed to be done. What needed to be done? We need to make sure that Jesus is properly anointed. We're not farming it off to somebody else. We're not raising up a committee. It needs to be done. We're going to do it. We're going to serve. This is the kind of initiative that God's people need a big dose of. Luke 24, verse number 1, we begin considering the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and what it is when disciples get it right. Now, y'all are not happy enough this morning. This is good stuff. Verse number 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Mark, he expands on this a little bit. Here's what he says. He says, now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, mother the Mary of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? So these women were loyal, they were obedient, they were selfless, they were persevering, they were resilient, and they were self-disciplined. The sun is just coming up, but they're already arriving at the tomb. They have the spices prepared. They're ready to go. Kind of reminds me of the Proverbs 31 woman, the virtuous woman. Who can find her, the scripture says. She rises also while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. The Proverbs 31 woman is not only is she not lazy, but she's not selfish. Though she is busy and might be tempted to use such busyness as an excuse for not caring for others, she does not. She cares for others. Proverbs 31:20. This virtuous woman, she extends her hands to the poor. Yes, she reaches out to the needy. Something else I want to say, and I'm sure that there's not a perfect way for me to say it, but I'll do my best. You know, in our culture, many of the women who are celebrated, they are silly. They're almost mindless. They may be attractive, and that may be the reason that they're on the television screen or the internet website. That may be the reason why they are celebrated. But so many of them are just dumb as a rock. And you get done listening to them, and you're really glad you don't have to listen anymore. This is not who these women were. They're not silly. They're not childish. They're not like mentally underdeveloped. I'm glad some of you are chuckling. This is hard to say, but we need this. When you are 22, you should not think like you're 13. You're supposed to mature. And when you're a godly Christian woman and you're in your second half of life, we'll say it that way, you're supposed to have acquired some wisdom. You're supposed to have some character that is manifested in the way you live. These women had been with Jesus, and it had made a difference in the way they conducted themselves. Though all of the culture celebrate, ah, boy, this is fun. some kind of toxic femininity. There is a godly one that ought to be cherished among the people of God. We ought to celebrate it. We ought to reward it. We ought to honor it. You say, Brother Rick, what are you talking about? Where does that even come from? Look at the women. In a moment wherein we would grant them some grace for being overcome with grief, what are they talking about? You know what, ladies? We're going to need some men to move that stone. That is a really huge stone, and we're not in a position to move it. How are we going to get that? Very, very practical. Not goofy, not silly, not flighty. Serious and sober when it's called for, right? The Proverbs 31 woman, verse 26. Listen to this. In contrast to some of the silliness we have celebrated. Ridiculousness. Well, she's pretty. She doesn't need to be smart. What? No. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Ladies, I'm glad for you to be delighted that someone thinks you're attractive, but let's do this. Let's go farther than that. Let's go for, I want to be wise so that when I'm talking, people are glad to listen to me. I want to be godly. I want to be linked to Jesus so that when I speak, the Spirit of Jesus is evident. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Verse number 2. This is back in Luke's Gospel, Luke 24. But when they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And as it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. I got to do this quickly, but I want to bring up loyalty again. And here's why. If the women had not loyally attended to the body of the crucified and buried Jesus, they would not have been the first to discover the resurrection of Jesus. Loyalty to Jesus in the case of these women was amazingly rewarded. They're recorded forever in the history of eternity to be the first people who went looking for the dead Jesus and found the living one. That won't make you Pentecostal. I can't help you. That's just as good as it gets. I'm telling you. Amy said one time, not too long ago, that I got so wound up and so excited that she was really afraid I was going to do like a Ric Flair woo or something. I'm close this morning, Amy. This is just amazing. Can you imagine? I mean, they have endured all of what they have endured because they were loyal. That's the reason they faced it. They kept watching the cross. They kept watching Jesus suffer. They saw him breathe his last. They saw him taken down. They followed him to the tomb. They prepared the spices, grief after grief after grief. But it isn't enough. They go to the tomb on the morning, not imagining that he was going to be alive. They go one more time to be loyal to the Jesus they love with all their hearts, even if he's dead. And when they get there, they are shaken to the core. He is not here. He is living. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Whoo, that's good. Okay, verse 7. Everybody's got to eat sometime today. The Son of Man, verse 7, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again, verse number 8. And they remembered His words. I want to say to you, you can't remember something if you weren't paying attention when it was said the first time. You can only remember if you're attentive, if you're listening to what Jesus had to say. And they had been. These weren't second-class disciples. They were disciples who were privy to the same teaching and ministry of Jesus that the men were. There wasn't separate classes. They were loyal. They were obedient. They were selfless. They were persevering, resilient, self-disciplined, and they were attentive. They remembered the words of Jesus, and they could remember because they were attentive in the first place. Verse number 9, then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to be like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. These women were disciples who got it right. They were loyal, they were obedient, they were selfless, they were persevering, they were resilient, they were self-disciplined, they were attentive, and lastly, they were vocal. They went and told the disciples, "We have great news. We went to anoint Jesus and He is not there, and some angels told us He was alive." The women were able witnesses. Listen to me. Not believing them was a mistake. So with all of this in mind, let's finish. Many of us are where we are spiritually this morning because of women like these that God put in our lives. I mean, you are who you are. You know what you know. You are connected to Jesus providentially because God put women of faith in your life. Maybe grandmother, maybe mother, maybe aunt, right? Maybe your Sunday school teacher. But God put these women of faith in your life, and you are where you are in large part today because they were women of faith. They were loyal, they were obedient, they were selfless, persevering, resilient, self-disciplined, attentive, and vocal. Some of us are where we are spiritually this morning because we ignored women like these. God put them in our lives, they lived out the faith, they taught us the faith, and we thought they were silly. We thought they were old-fashioned, or we had some other way of saying they couldn't possibly be right about life and how to live, and so we ignored them. In fact, some of us whose spiritual condition has been restored by King Jesus look back and recognize there were moments in our life that we paid the price for not listening to the women of faith that God put in our lives. They gave us some wisdom, and we ignored it, and we suffered for it. Well, ladies, let me say something directly to you guys this morning, finishing up this message. The next generation of the church needs women like these. We need them. We need loyal, obedient, selfless, persevering, resilient, self-disciplined, attentive, and vocal disciples who get it right. So ladies, are you following Jesus? Are you loyal to Jesus? Are you obedient to Him? Are you selfless when it comes to Him? Are you just always after one more bite? Are you persevering? Are you resilient and self-disciplined? Are you attentive so that you can repeat, you can remember what Jesus says when you need it? Are you vocal? Do people know that you follow Jesus? Hey, and men, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Are you loyal? Are you obedient? Are you selfless? Are you persevering? Are you resilient and self-disciplined? Are you attentive and vocal? Are you disciples that are getting it right? These women were disciples of Jesus who got it right. There is plenty we should learn from them about following Jesus. I pray we do. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Father God, would you stir our hearts in these moments as we give consideration to these disciples who got it right. In this case, women. What an amazing example they have laid out for us in following the Lord Jesus. Their discipleship wasn't soft. It was courageous. It is worthy of being modeled. Thank you for their loyalty. Thank you for their selflessness. Thank you for how resilient and courageous they were. Thank you for how they followed Jesus. They were obedient. Thank you for the way that they were attentive and listened to what Jesus said. Thank you for the way that they were vocal witnesses to the resurrected Christ. Would you birth in us, please, by your Holy Spirit, these characteristics? Jesus is surely worthy of them. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.